bro. I'm in Budapest, Hungary right now, Tuesday, November the 24th, 2015. Interesting place to be. Germany's just slammed its border shut. Hungary slammed its border shut. There were troops all over the border today coming back into here. This is crazy. They didn't really stop us because we were going into Hungary out of Austria, but I got a feeling going back the other way is going to be pretty interesting trying to get through. European Union's 20-year-old border-free travel zone unraveled soon after Germany brought back passport checks. Other countries in Europe swiftly followed and reintroduced controls as bickering intensified between European leaders. Austria sent thousands of soldiers to man up its borders, and Finland followed suit. That's what we got to see today. Officials in France, Belgium, and Poland poised to reintroduce border controls to stop unprecedented surge. The folks, of course, we already know that Hungary's already resorted to putting up a 16-foot razor wire fence with its border with Serbia. And it's also using water cannon and tear gas now. And if anybody gets across and they're caught, they're put into concentration camps. So I'm in the middle of it over here in Budapest, Hungary right now, watching this unfold before my very eyes here, hoping I can get back into Austria and back up into Czechoslovakia. They've also thrown huge border protection across their borders with Hungary and also with Austria. And so we'll find out. I'll keep you guys posted as far as this trip goes and what we're finding and what happens in Germany when I get back into Germany, when I go back up through Dresden, to find out if I'm going to be stopped at the border and the car is going to be searched and if we're going to have dogs and guns and everything else pointed at us. So this is going to be an interesting week for yours truly over here in Germany. I'm kind of wondering now what I've really gotten myself into, to be honest with you, Austin. And, you know, I've been here several times before, but I've never seen anything like this before. The tension here is palatable. You can literally feel it. The people here are just terrified of these refugees. They're terrified of what's happening to Europe. They're terrified of World War III about to begin. And they're shutting their borders and taking border restrictions right now. And now everybody here is completely and totally distraught. They've allowed all of these folks to disappear and to disseminate into this already impoverished country of Hungary. Some of the areas of Hungary are real beautiful from the old areas. But we got into an old slum area. It was awful today trying to find the hotel. And it was interesting. And I tell you what, there's some places I wouldn't even want to get out of the car here. Now they're being bombarded and have been bombarded with a bunch of refugees out of Syria. And they're apparently rounding them up as best they can to get them into the concentration detainment facilities. They've actually mounted rail cars on the border crossing with razor wire on the rail cars and pushed the rail cars up to the border crossing with the rail, where the Watts Railroad once ran to stop this giant influx of what's happening here. It's actually quite sad. I've been able to find out from the hotel staff that the primary refugees have been going through Turkey. And we'll also have a story with you right here on Turkey in just a few minutes. Turkey's been facilitating this. And they're also coming out of Iran. They're also coming out of Tunisia. They're also coming out of Lebanon. They're coming from all over the place to go directly through Turkey, through Greece, through Bulgaria, through Macedonia, into Serbia and Romania, and that's where the border of Hungary ties in, and that's where Slovakia ties in. Slovakia is now also introducing border controls. Czech Republic's doing it. I mean, the borders of Europe have slammed shut. And you know, it's funny, Austin. I wondered when they opened these things 20 years ago, I said, if the people in these countries that are south of here ever find out they can walk or get on a train and get into Europe now without having to show a passport, they are going to be deluged with these people from these third world countries out of Africa and out of these different parts of the Middle Eastern countries that have so much poverty. And these folks are going to be pouring into Germany, into Europe. And that's exactly what's been happening. And now finally Germany says they simply can't take it anymore and they've got to do something to stop it. So Angela Merkel, I think, is basically afraid she's going to get her butt lynched, which she probably should have had already done. And she's basically now is slamming the border shuts and, like I said, reintroducing passport controls at the borders. And I'm sure Switzerland's gotten much, much tighter than it has been also. So I remember years and years ago when I came here with my father, every single border you were stopped. You had to show passports. They had dogs. Like coming from Mexico into the United States. And finally, Angela Merkel and the German people have just pushed her. They pushed her to stop all of this nonsense. And so now we have a complete and total just disaster that's occurred in Europe. And now everybody's absolutely scared, Austin. What do you think about this?
Yeah, well, you're dead on, especially about Turkey. I think Turkey's been complicit in a lot of this and funding a lot of people to even help them get to Europe. There's already been evidence now suggesting that Turkey basically is, in fact, allied with ISIS, which we already knew that before, and they've actually helped the terror organization by providing safe passage and financing their black market oil sales and almost excess of $1 billion worth of ISIS oil now has been sold in Turkey. And remember, Turkey is supposedly a U.S. ally. And what's even interesting about that today is, if you guys saw the news, Turkey shot down a Russian Su-24 fighter jet. They claimed that it violated Turkish airspace just days after threatening Moscow with serious consequences if it continued bombing ISIS in Syria, which that right there obviously shows you that Turkey is completely complicit in helping ISIS, funding, weaponry, and safety. And the plane was flying around 19,000 feet, and it was shot down. The crazy part is, though, if you pull up some of the stuff online, it was allegedly 2 kilometers into Turkey's airspace. And if you look at the point that he crossed over, it's a peninsula, like kind of the shape of Florida, but much smaller. And it literally, if you put it in contrast, the fighter jet flew over like Fort Lauderdale. They said that he was running at his speed, that he would have been out of Turkish airspace within 9 seconds. And which pretty much clearly shows us that Turkey, they were targeting that plane. They already knew he was running around. He had been flying around in the border inside Syria, obviously doing air raids for some time now. And then what's even worse is, after he was shot down, a Russian rescue helicopter went to basically go search for the pilots to see if they were still alive. And, of course, the plane that crashed in Syria, the Turkey said that, you know, it was in their airspace, even though it was in Syria, the Russian helicopter was also taken down by what the Syrian fighter said was an anti-tank missile. So this just escalated really rapidly with Russia and Turkey, especially the fact that they took down a fighter jet that had absolutely it was showing no aggression whatsoever. That's the biggest problem with it. And that it also calls into question as far as what the rule of engagements were. You know, I mean, Turkey has not been bombed by Russia. They are not a target of Russia. They were clearly not in any type of engagement fight over Turkey, but yet they were still shot down without showing any type of engagement procedure. So there's definitely going to be some ramifications for this. I don't know what it's going to be, but it just got pretty hot over there.
Oh, I know, buddy. And remember, when Turkey shot them down, they used F-16s that we supplied.
Yes, they did.
With our missiles and our aircraft. Remember, Israel, Turkey, the United States, ISIS, and Israel, all of these countries are all tied together through the Mossad and through our CIA in running drugs out of Afghanistan and making literally $1 trillion worth of commodity sales per year just going into the United States off the opium and the heroin. So this is a huge, huge business. And now Syria said no to the Qatar gas pipeline, which I've mentioned multiple times years ago. And our CIA got in there and basically paid the rebels in there and basically brought rebels in to do it to start a civil war. And so now the United States is basically funding all of this stuff through our Rothschild-controlled banking monopoly, because out of our printing our money out of nothing. And, dude, I mean, we're like a gnat's breath of starting World War III over here, and I'm in the middle of it. So this is an interesting place to be right now. So we'll see what happens. I'm going to be leaving here on Thursday, going back into Austria and then into Czechoslovakia, and then north of that going into Germany. And quite frankly, I'll be happy to get out of Dodge when this place is shut down. I tell you what, this is awful down here. But these people are terrified. They don't know what to do anymore because this border and all the stuff that's happened. Now Austria has sent thousands of soldiers to man its borders as it steps up checkpoints. I'm sure I'll be running into them on Thursday. Finland is also following suit because they don't want them running north. Officials in France, Belgium, and Poland poised to reintroduce border controls to stop unprecedented surge also. And so it's going to be interesting. It says Europe was on lockdown last night. As states across the continent said they could take no more migrants and slam their borders shut. The European Union's 20-year-old travel zone unraveled soon after Germany brought back passport checks, admitting it could no longer cope with the massive influx. Other states swiftly followed Germany's lead because they're afraid they're going to start going to their states now, and they reintroduced controls as bickering intensified between EU leaders unable to agree on how to handle the crisis. I'll tell you how to handle it. You shut your stinking borders, you tell them no. Oh, that's right. Obama's bringing in hundreds of thousands, if not millions, now into the United States. And, oh, yes, he told us he'll veto Congress's override of him doing that. So, oh, that's right. He's a dictator. Oh, I remember that now, Austin. This is what we heard about and wrote about in George Orwell, 1984, and we've made it now. We have a dictator in the White House. But you should see these photos. You can go online and see these razor wire fences everywhere and this rail car with all this razor wire on the back of it they pushed right across the razor. And, of course, like I said, they're using water cannons. and they're using tear gas now. The Netherlands have also begun to check the borders. Germany introduced passport checks. Czech Republic increased border patrols on the border with Austria. Slovakia police has restored border checks. That means you've got to go back through the borders, go through the countries again. Hungary's closed its gap with its new razor wire 16-foot tall fence. Austria, 2,600 soldiers deployed to the border. These checkpoints are brought back into Austria. And it's just unbelievable that this is happening right now. I'm here. I'm your correspondent on the ground, Austin. So here we go.
Well, it's definitely becoming more and more eerily reminiscent of the 9/11 as far as the military lockdown and what you're seeing with the borders. Granted, I do agree they need to lock down the borders to keep this influx of refugees and, you know, Islamic terrorists from coming in. But what's crazy now is that Paris is just basically gone into a full-blown police state. You know, after the incident, they declared that there was a three-month state of emergency, 3 months, and now authorities have conducted 793 raids across the countries, and they said they're hunting down those believed to be responsible for the attacks. But the problem is that they're really running into an issue here as far as what they're starting to have as far as power. They're pretty much unchecked. The police and all the authorities have this new array of power. Police can now conduct warrantless searches of both people and homes. Police are also free to detain individuals or place them under house arrest for indefinite lengths of time without charge, based purely on exhibiting behavior deemed to be some type of a threat. Since the attack, week and a half, 2 weeks ago, 90 people have been arrested, with another 164 placed under house arrest. And so it kind of begs the question, you know, is this kind of a paradox to suspend human rights in order to defend them? I mean, where's this going with Paris? You know, we saw that with the Patriot Act, like I discussed yesterday. Pretty much everybody in Paris has lost their freedom. They can't even do anything. They can't even hardly go to the bathroom now without asking permission from the police. It's completely locked down, all in the name of hunting down terrorists. Now, granted, I know they want to get everybody out of there, but quite frankly, we don't even know what the real truth is on who is involved behind this whole Paris attack. And now they've completely locked down the city. Basically, it's full-blown martial law for the next 3 months. So I'm really hoping that this does not spread through Europe as it is in Paris. Now that they're cracking the borders down, I'm curious to see if that's what's going to start happening in other countries across Europe.
I don't know, Austin. Under the European Union rules, supposedly if they stay with them, if Germany even stays in the EU, the 26 states that have removed their border checks may reintroduce emergency controls for no more than 2 months if there's a serious threat to the public policy or internal security. So they've got 60 days to do this. The section area, which is in Germany, includes all EU members except states of the UK, Ireland, Cyprus, Bulgaria, Romania, and Croatia. Also, parts of the zone are non-EU countries, Ireland, Norway, Switzerland, and Liechtenstein. Austria and the Czech Republic and Slovakia yesterday said they would follow Germany's lead and temporarily reinstate border controls to cope with the surge in migrants. I'm looking at the line now going back into Austria from Hungary. Gosh, I could be in that line for 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 8 or 9 hours. It's that bad. Poland's prime minister says as soon as he hears any kind of threat to Polish, he's going to put in border controls. And the Belgian minister warned his country that we have to close its borders if the German decision results in a sudden flux of refugees. The Hungarian prime minister, he's gotten so bold now, he says, I don't want any Muslims. I got enough Muslims in my country already. I don't want any more. And he said, we should be able to tell you if we want Muslims or not. We're not taking any more. So, yeah, the Hungarian minister, Viktor Orban, last night preparing to declare crisis after 5,800 migrants crossed the border from Serbia on Sunday, which broke, I guess they must have cut the fence or the wire, with a further 7,400 arriving by 2 p.m. yesterday. This whole thing here in Serbia or in Hungary has gone nuts. A 4-foot, like I mentioned earlier, high razor wire fence along the border was completed yesterday, while new laws criminalizing those entering Hungary illegally came into effect today. The president of Hungary said it was necessary to bring in harsh penalties, including prison terms, for those crossing the border in order to defend Hungary and Europe and protect our way of life. At least these people are waking up and figuring it out. Now, I want to read you something here. This is going to be interesting. I want to read this to you. This is a letter that I found today, which absolutely blew my mind. Now, you're not even going to believe this one. If I can find it, I don't have it printed up because I'm having to pop it up on my iPad. So just go ahead and start another story, Austin. I'll find out where you're doing another story.
Okay. Well, yeah. I mean, especially all the countries are, I think they've had enough. Norway now there's several residents in the village in Telemark, Norway, in the village of Boleskva. They're in desperate, they're basically just, they don't know what to do. They're forced to receive 400 new asylum seekers. The 40 residents in this town, there's 40 people in this town, 40, and they're being forced to take a 400 asylum seekers in now. They feel overrun in fear that the small village will not cope with such a massive increase in population. The Grand Hotel has already been converted into emergency rooms for 150 refugees. Now the director of immigration is negotiating with the owners of the other village's hotel about making it an asylum center too. There's only two hotels in this entire little village, and now they want to make both of them housing for immigrants. And what's crazy is they said, we've already accepted 150 who've come here. We've done our best to ensure that they're happy, the 40 residents said at a meeting. But how can we accept 400 more when we were only 40 people? It takes 2 hours just to get to Noden, which is, there's nothing to do here or in Noden. There's nothing to entertain them. There's nothing to do to take care of them. And they're afraid that a lot of these people are going to start getting really basically bored and starting trouble and mischief, because this place is located out in the middle of nowhere with nothing to do, and they're getting another 400 now, making a total of 550 immigrants into this little town of 40 people. So,
I'm reading another article here where there are hundreds of people being snuck in on UPS cargo flights now out of Harrisburg International Airport. I mean, this thing has gone so ridiculous that it's almost hard to believe that this is actually happening, and here we are in the middle of it, and I'm right here, you know, in the middle of doing it, and I'm trying to find this letter, so go ahead. You keep talking, Austin. I got a letter I got to read to you guys.
Yeah, well, in Pennsylvania, you're right about the UPS planes. Now, there's a video online. You can go look at it. They basically quoted they were coming into Harrisburg on last Thursday. They said the buses just came in on a UPS flight from Harrisburg International Airport. They had FBI escorts. The eyewitnesses, while following two of the buses down the busy highway, captured them on the video. They said they just snuck in. UPS people, this is no lie, we caught them red-handed sneaking people into the country on UPS transport planes. This is serious. I mean, the fact that, again, like I said yesterday, whenever you have to do stuff under the cloak of secrecy and you don't want anybody to know about it, it's probably not good. Another article, too, that I always, you know, like giving you guys much gun information. Now, in 2013, more than 46,000 people in the United States now have died from drug overdoses. You know, Dad and I talked about the incident that happened with my uncle a couple weeks ago, about a month ago now, with a heroin overdose. This is serious. But what's crazy is more than half of those 46,000 deaths were due to prescription painkillers and heroin, nothing else. And what's crazy is the total drug overdose is in the United States is 13.9 per 100,000. That's how many what the death rate is in the United States, which is almost four times what the gun homicide rate is, which is 3.6 deaths per 100,000. Now, if you take out all illicit drugs, deaths from prescription drugs alone are 7.2 people per 100,000. Exactly twice as much as gun homicides. So it begs the question of what's really worse here? Are we seeing twice the amount of deaths of gun deaths in strictly prescription drugs? Now, the next question that I always like to ask people is, this is an interesting one. Now, like Big Pharma, alcohol poses an extremely large threat to society. The drunk driving deaths last year on average, I think, were 10,076. That was the average amount of drunk driving fatalities. Well, gun homicides was 11,208, 1,200 more in the whole United States. You know, that's they're almost identical. But what's crazy is policymakers and lawmakers say the proper response to drunk driving is to focus on the crime of driving reckless and impaired, and focus on those who have been known to operate vehicles in an unsafe manner. Okay, makes sense. Arrest people, give them DUIs. Like it says, anyone who has a history of abuse is barred from engaging in further risky behavior. You get your license revoked. You deal with that. But everybody else in society is still free to buy alcohol and whatever amount they choose, until proven guilty of an alcohol-related crime. I can go to the store, buy a fifth of Jack Daniels, and go get in the car and kill somebody. Now I committed the crime. Now they're taking my license. But if I'm not caught doing it, nor do I engage in that type of behavior, I'm never charged with that crime because I never did anything. The response to gun homicides, on the other hand, is to restrict access to guns for everyone without any due process. Understand what I just said there, guys. Alcohol. You do not ever get charged with an alcohol-related crime unless you're drunk. You're using alcohol. But with guns, one person does a crime with a gun, exact same concept. One person makes a bad choice with a tool, a vehicle, or a gun. He's restricted from owning or using that tool for an extended period of time, if ever. But nobody else is ever restricted from engaging in that behavior. That's the thing you need to ask every time you hear one of these gun-bashing idiots talk about banning guns. Why don't we ban alcohol? Why don't we ban prescription drugs? If that's the case, we should just ban everything. So, did you find that email yet?
Yeah, I did. I was listening to you.
I went on a little tirade there.
Well, I liked it. Yeah, I'm a little more calm than you today. I'm a little more jet-lagged. This is an interesting article, and it says, essay, Why I Will Not Apologize for ISIL, How American Exceptionalism, White Privilege, and Lazy Journalism Make a Nation Impervious to the Humanity of Others. I'm going to repeat this title, How American Exceptionalism, White Privilege, and Lazy Journalism Make a Nation Impervious to the Humanity of Others. With rare exceptions, Muslims appearing on mainstream Western news outlets are asked in some way to apologize for the Islamic State. At a minimum, they are expected to denounce and condemn the terrorist attacks in Paris, but not the one in Beirut the day before perpetrated by the same terrorists. Some call it a litmus test, but I think it's more pernicious than that, and it extends from the media, and it's most things in popular culture, consciousness and daily interactions with Muslims. Now, this is interesting, because this is obviously written by a Muslim, and I'm going to kind of read part of it. It goes, the West, primarily the United States, has plundered and laid waste to cities across our planet. They decimated Iraq, apparently for corporate profit. Actually, it was put in a central bank for the Rothschild cartel.
There you go.
That's what that was for. One of the most ancient civilizations on our planet, splendid and magnificent even under a tyrant. It now lies in ruins. Her sophisticated society dismembered and degraded, unspeakable and still untold of ways. That's true. We always remember the Abu Ghraib. The tendencies of Western terrorism have reached to every corner of their nation, every one of their lives, every moment of their culture and economy. The instability and degradation instigated by Western forces then marched to other Middle Eastern nations, destroying one after the other. The same has been done throughout Africa and Latin America. But never once, not even once, I've seen an Arab, an African, or Latin American newscaster demand that a Westerner prove his or her humanity as a precondition for simple conversation. I find that interesting. Despite the fact the West has visited misery across our planet, even the most simple of citizens in the world understand that ordinary U.S. citizens are not to blame. I don't fully understand why North Americans, as a mainstream collective, but not necessarily as individuals, persistently prove to be an exception in this regard. Why they seem to be socially or spiritually impervious to the humanity of others. Or the fact that according to the FBI, the overwhelming majority of acts of terrorism in the U.S. are committed by white Christian males. Now, I'd have to see that in writing, to be honest with you. And I see statistics on that. To some extent, I believe the answer is in culture. American exceptionalism and white privilege, which is not always white, whatever that's supposed to mean. The epitome of white privilege is the ability to be an individual, to never be required to answer for the sins of those below. This is complete... I'm about to start cussing. This is complete and total BS, okay? I use this term to describe a dominant culture which, although sometimes multi-ethnic, conforms to white Christian supremacy. What's pissing me off with this article that I can't even finish now is the fact that these people are taking all of us and clumping us into a group of people saying that we're all a bunch of warmongers. Here's the news flash to the blithering idiot who wrote this. Who wrote it? Susan Abuhaha, Awa, A-B-U-L-H-A-Wawa, A-B-Abel, A-B-U-L-Hawa, H-A-W-A, Susan. Susan, I've got a news flash for you. Listen to alternative news. There are tens of millions of people in the United States that are not happy with what's happening in our country and our alliance with Turkey and with ISIL and with ISIS and the Arab training Muslim camps we have in the United States, training Muslims. We realize that not all Muslims are bad. We got that. But for you to write such a bigoted article about white people and Christian males, you suck. I mean, this is ridiculous. I would have never written an article like this about Muslims. And I cannot believe that you would come out and say something like this and actually expect us to be able to read this on national radio and not get irritated about it. Listen to the alternative news. You have no idea what you're talking about. I'm in the middle of this mess in Budapest, Hungary right now, hoping I can get back across the border in a few days, and you're sitting here telling us how we're all sucked up into white exceptionalism and imperialism. Hey, I don't like what our country has done. I don't like anything it's done in the Middle East. It's been awful under George H.W., under George W., under Clinton, under Obama, under all of them. I've had enough of all of it. The problem is, we're all stuck here because of our wretched political system that's corrupt to the core because of lobbying efforts that have bought and paid Congress with Rothschild banking cartel money. So no, Susan, we're not all asleep. A bunch of us know what's going on, and we're sick of it as you are. That's why we've gone to alternative news and alternative radio to tell the truth of what's happening in the United States and around the world. That's why I'm in Budapest, Hungary. Austin, I got to calm down. Take over the show for a minute.
Okay. Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he's dead on with that. And I mean, the thing is, we've discussed on here repeatedly of what's going on, but the truth is, we're not going in and trying to make everybody else conform to our beliefs and our religion. That's the biggest problem that I have with Islam, is they come to the United States from these other countries, and they expect everybody in this country to conform to their religion, their ways, and their Sharia law.
They cut people's heads off. They don't become Muslims.
Oh, that's my point. That was my next thing. They advocate violent, violent, deviant behavior, sadistic behavior, if you don't conform to their religion. So for her to sit here and try and rationalize why the United States, everybody in the United States is this specific way, now she's a complete and total idiot. I'm not even going to involve it. Anyways, on a different level, just a whole nother topic. I'm gonna get off that real quick. It's starting to irritate me too, Dem. So we're gonna switch gears for a second. I want to give you guys a little heads up on some more stuff. Uber, if you guys have heard of that, Uber, UBER, it's an innovative transport company that's taken off in the recent years, and it offers basically a public alternative to taxis. What it does is you download the app on your phone. You hit it wherever you're at. It puts up a list of individual people that have private vehicles that will drive you around as a taxi service, pick you up from the airport, take you to the hotel, and there's ratings on it. So people that have done it before, you know, they'll have 4 or 5 stars. So a lot of times you go on there, people will have 40, 50, 60 feedback, kind of like eBay. So the people with higher feedback that take really good care of people, drive them around, are really friendly, give them good rates. So you click your app, you know, okay, somebody will pick me up in a Mercedes S-Class, take me to the airport this many miles away, pay them $50. You pay with PayPal, it's secure, it's safe. Well, Uber now has gotten into the healthcare field. Get this, Uber has recently wrapped up its second phase this year of a pilot program aimed at delivering flu shots to individuals' doorsteps. Last year, the program was tested in 3 cities, and this year it was expanded to 35 around the United States. The formula is simple. For one day, Uber Health delivered wellness packs to the doorsteps of individuals requesting them via Uber's app. The wellness pack included a water bottle, tissues, hand sanitizer, and a lollipop. I have no idea why they put a lollipop in there. I'm sure it had high fructose corn syrup and food coloring, so it doesn't really generate any healthy benefits. Anyways, it was $10 for this little Uber tote that they deliver right to your door. They also have the option in this to receive a flu vaccine for up to 10 people administered by a registered nurse at no additional charge, compliments of Passport Health. Now, according to the Department of Justice, as we talked yesterday, the flu vaccine still remains the most dangerous shot based on injury and death compensated by the United States. So it appears the race has begun to find which public-facing companies are best positioned to capitalize on a potential mandatory vaccination push. This is very interesting here, guys, because this is just a very, very small beginning step onto something else that's going to become much more sinister in the future. This is all about mandatory vaccinations and healthcare data mining. This is about getting all your information, getting everything about you, and getting you in the system as you need a flu shot, and then instituting mandatory flu vaccinations that come to your house and forcibly vaccinate you. This is where this is going. Now, you may say, Austin's gone off the deep end. He's a little crazy. Well, you know, I may be a little off. People have told me that before, but I really don't care. But I'm telling you what's going to happen. You know, we thought things like right now would never happen 10, 15 years ago. Tell somebody back in the 70s and 80s that after 9/11 they'd institute the Patriot Act and what it was going to do to our rights. We'd have laughed at you. So this right here is a small step that people need to be aware of and understand. This seems cool right now, a little cool option. Now, I like the idea of Uber and the transport, but of course they had to turn it into something much more deviant now. What do you think about all this, Deb?
I think you're absolutely right. What's going to happen is going to be what we talked about the other night. We're going to have forced medical examinations, forced medical vaccinations. It's all about with the Men in Black, the Medical Information Bureau garbage. Once you get your data into that, you can't get it back out. I remember one time I went in and had to have my cholesterol checked to get some health insurance or something. Or no, it was life insurance. And I think my cholesterol was 208. Boom, I was high. I had high cholesterol. Then boom, I couldn't be life insurance. I couldn't get life insurance. And I mean, it was like 10 years ago. 208. Cholesterol was not even high. So I had to go on basically cut out a bunch of stuff, and I dropped my cholesterol down to like 192 like in a week, which is super easy to do. And then I went in and got the life insurance, and I thought to myself, well, that's okay, that's the end of that. End of that, forget it, man. 10 years later, they're telling me I got high cholesterol still when I went in for health insurance. And I thought, you know, this is ridiculous. Because you allow these people to put your personal medical information into what's called the Medical Information Bureau, which allows all of these bureaucrats and these insurance companies, which are not your friends. I mean, the insurance companies are the ones that have written Obamacare. They're not your friends. And basically what they want to do is have these forced vaccinations. Pretty soon you're going to call up Uber. We sent you your flu shot last year. Are you ready for us to come over and give it to you again? No, we're not going to do it this year. Well, no, you need to do it this year. And they start calling you. Well, we're going to go ahead and remind you of your flu shot. Well, you want to go ahead and do it? No, I don't want to. Well, we'll call you again next week if you changed your mind. That's where this is going. And then pretty soon it's going to be, oh, we're sending somebody over to do the flu shot. Well, I don't want one. Well, we're not going to give you that option anymore. You're going to have to take it. Now we know where you live, and we know basically that you're out of date on your vaccinations. That's where it's going, Austin. That's where this always goes. This is medical martial law. This is medical tyranny. This is what Hitler implemented in the concentration camps. And pretty soon we're going to find ourselves just where all the Jews and the gypsies and the Germans who didn't like Hitler ended up if we don't want to comply with the regulations. And again, tomorrow night you've got to listen to the show. I'm going to talk about the blood of Jesus. I'm going to talk about how it sanctifies you. I'm going to talk about the mechanics behind the blood and how powerful blood is and why this has been used now for centuries and centuries, as an agent that we've talked about in the Christian churches. Here's another article I want to read you. It says, Vladimir Putin is being called a traitor to the New World Order, says Jacob Rothschild. Putin says no to the New World Order, which makes Jacob Rothschild a little bit nervous. I guess we need to call him Jacob. He needs Russia on their side to fulfill and complete the agenda. But Putin has said no and will fight against this. Obama is really getting on Putin's nerves. Because remember, Obama is just a vassal for Jacob Rothschild. And getting on Putin's nerves because he can't see why he's doing the things that he's doing to his own people and warning America. And he's warning the American people. Putin's warning the American people, keep your guns. I know no more than anyone else about Putin, but I can do some things that might make sense. First, he would not have reached as high as he was, just like in America, if he had not been one of them and on their side, and he'd never been head of the intelligence, KGB, if he's not one of them, and he would never have made it as a president. Does that mean he could turn to betray them? No, it just means if he had. Okay, I'm going to stop reading this, and here's why. I'm going to tell you something. Everybody needs to read John F. Kennedy's book when he got his PT-109 boat got sunk in the Pacific. And he basically was, you know, had to run around and avoid the Japanese for it was several weeks. And what's interesting about this, John F. Kennedy was slated to be part of this New World Order by his daddy. He was supposed to come in and be the man who's going to take the Kennedy family from the money they made from their bootlegging and the submarines and everything else that they did. into this prestigious place in the White House, which he did. Now, what's interesting about this is, when he wrote that book, I believe it was called Profiles in Courage, and he got a Pulitzer Prize for it. Now, some people are saying, well, he didn't actually write the book. He had a ghostwriter. Oh, what? So what? Deal with it, okay? He had somebody help him write the book. Maybe that's true. It was his story. But the point is this. It changed him, Austin. He was sunk in a boat. He realized what the United States was. He realized the cabal that had taken over the United States. He wanted his country back. He knew that he had fought and almost died in the Pacific Theater for a lie. And he saw that when he got into the White House. And that's why he said, before I'm out of this office, I'm going to expose this mess, and we're going to get rid of these people. And they made sure they killed him. And the sad part about it is even if Vladimir Putin was at one time a KGB general or the head of the KGB or whatever, his mom supposedly raised him as a Christian. The Bible says that when you are old, you're not depart from what you were raised as a child. That's why you have to make sure you return to it. And so we don't know what Vladimir Putin's doing. We don't even know if he'll walk the walk. But doggone it, he's talking the talk. He's talking the talk a whole lot more than Barack Hussein Obama or Barry Sorto or whatever you want to call the guy is in the White House, regardless of where he was born, in Kenya or Hawaii. It doesn't make any difference. The thing about it is he's a vassal for the Rothschild banking cartel. Putin apparently is not, and he's warned the Rothschilds that if they start messing with him, he's going to get rid of their bank in Russia, which he probably already has, and we just haven't learned about it, kind of like Iceland did. But the nuttiest part about all of this is Putin just had his plane shot down for supposedly going into airspace, which supposedly now in Turkey, which supposedly they didn't even do it, and he has not issued a full-scale attack on Turkey. This thing could actually escalate, Austin, and we could get we could drag Turkey through this thing. And then, and since Turkey's another vassal state of Israel, the United States, and if you guys get all bent out of shape with me about Israel, read the Balfour Declaration. Tel Aviv is the number one homosexual destination on the planet. This is not where Israel is not the Israel that you talk about of the Old Testament. I love that Israel. I love the Old Testament that was scattered by the Babylonians. These are Sabbateans. These are people who don't even, these are the Babylonian Talmud guys. They don't practice the Old Testament. I've talked to only a few people that claim to be Jewish that have ever even read the Torah. They don't read that. You know, we read the Torah, which is the Old Testament, the Genesis, Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, and we think, okay, but this is what the Jews believe. This is not what they believe now. This entire thing was changed. I did an entire show on this on Hagman. And I interviewed Henry McCow on Hagman, and he talked about this. So don't start spouting that Ted Brewer's anti-Semitic, because I'm not. The point is this. These people are not Jews. They've been hijacked by the synagogue of Satan. That's what the second and third book of Revelation says. They claim to be Jews, but they are not. So the book of the Old Testament, the Torah, I love that book. And I love the people of the Old Testament. They should have cleaned up their act and listened to God and quit being a bunch of weirdos and sacrificing their children to Baal and to Asherah, the god of the wife of Baal, or however that goes. I did a whole show on that too with Dave Hodges. But the point is, we have to realize that this Israel, the number one homosexual destination nightclub place in the world, is not the Israel, the Old Testament that we've talked about. And again, we've talked about Zionism and the Scofield Bible and what's happened with all of that. So, no, and for the God-fearing Jews who still believe in the Torah, who are called the Sephardic Jews, I love those people. They're awesome. But these people are not them. Okay, these are the Talmudian Jews that are the Sabbateans that are out of the part of Ukraine. This is a blood feud that's been going on since the 700s, 800s, of 1,200 years. And we just find ourselves in the middle of it. These are the guys that basically have come in and brought their satanic practices, and that's what the Rothschilds do. They're basically satanic worshipers or Satan worshipers. And so if you want to call them Satan worshipers, which God says is the synagogue of Satan, which is the same thing, that's what they are. So don't get all bent out of shape with me and say, well, this is that and this is that. Well, I'm not talking about it. Dude, I teach the Torah. I teach the books of Levitical law. I teach the dietary principles out of the Bible. I can take you through the entire list of them and tell you exactly what to eat and what not to eat. I memorize parts of Timothy where it talks about praying over food and eating it. I mean, the whole thing is this. You know, I'm completely and totally pro-Torah, pro-Israel of the Bible. Not this vassal state that was brought from the Rothschilds to the Balfour Declaration, which basically is owned by Jacob Rothschild. That this thing's a disaster. And the lobbying, see, Kennedy was going to use them as a foreign entity, the lobbying group, the what's it called, the the Jewish lobby, I forgot, AIPAC, issued them as a foreign corporation working on U.S. soil, and they had already done that in executive order, and Johnson changed it, because he figured out what was going on too. But they took control of the money supply in 1913 in the United States. We were the largest creditor country in the world. Now we're the largest debtor country. Keynesian economics doesn't work. I took macroeconomics in the MBA program at Florida State. Austin, you had it too. They never discussed how the money is never printed. The interest portion of the money is never printed. You have economies that are basically grown and are sustained through debt. Borrowing more with the interest never being... This is the old Babylonian money magic debt protocol they used even in the Roman Empire, which some say took the Roman Empire down. These are the same people that were doing that then doing this now. And see, that's what nobody understands. This is not what you think it is. This is Israel, Turkey, United States, training ISIS, the ISIL soldiers, and then a lot of the European vassal states like Germany that's trying to declare its own independence from America because they were defeated in the war. They still have military presence in Germany, which the Germans don't want anymore. But the craziest part of all of this is that nobody talks about this stuff. This is all like, oh, you can't talk about this. It's not true. Well, no, you read the Scofield Bible. Don't read commentaries and make them above the Word of God. Don't do that. The commentaries are that. They're commentary. They are not sanctioned scripture by the Word of God. They are not. So you've got to understand this type of behavioral pattern. You have to wake up and realize what's going on. The Rothschild Bank are Zionists. They want Israel to rule the world. That's what they want. And it's not the shepherdess Jews they want to rule the world. It's the Khazarian Jews that aren't even Jews, that are out of the synagogue of Satan. And people need to understand that. And I don't know how to make it any more clear than that. I mean, it's just crazy. But do some research on your own and try to figure this stuff out. Austin, go ahead.
No, you're dead on, especially with the Federal Reserve, you know, and I want to encourage anybody that's curious about it. If you want the most simplistic form of information on the Federal Reserve, there's a video that they did a couple years ago. It's called The American Dream. It's a cartoon. It's kind of funny at first, but then it's not. It goes into detail on the Federal Reserve and basically how it runs and how it works and how basically money as debt does not work. Money, you can't have money and have debt like that. You either have debt or you have money, you know, and this whole concept now of irredeemable paper currency where we just have quadrillions now with the derivatives in debt, that's not money anymore. And I mean, do some research on it. Look how J.P. Morgan, they sunk the Titanic. They had the captain of the Titanic run that thing full steam into an iceberg field. He knew he was in that iceberg field. He had already been through that field multiple times. He knew not to be running that speed through it. They told him to sink that ship because the two main people that were incredibly wealthy, I forgot, what were their names, Deb?
One of them was John Jacob Astor, who was one of the richest men in the world at that time, other than the Rothschild family. And there was another one there, I don't remember their name, but basically Astor had told them when they tried to put the central bank in and take over the monetary system of the United States that he was going to use his entire... He owned like half of Manhattan. He said, I will use my entire vast fortune to stop you. You will never... ever do this. And J.P. Morgan offered him a ship ride on the Titanic. J.P. Morgan had just met with the Vatican that was tied into all of this mess. And that ship basically, J.P. Morgan bailed out at the last minute, said he had other plans, he couldn't do it. They took the maiden voyage of the Titanic. The two industrialists that were going to basically stand against the Rothschild banking cartels taking over the United States through fiat currency, they were killed. For the first time in naval history, men were not allowed on lifeboats. Women were to go first with children, which had never been done before. That was unprecedented. The boats were taken off empty from the ship. Some of them had 3 and 4 passengers, 8 or 10 passengers. They would hold over 100 people each because the men were kept off the boat at gunpoint. And that was to keep John Jacob Astor off the ship and the other industrialists off the ship so they could push their Federal Reserve stuff. Now, you guys can go look this up yourself. It's all part of it. It's all part of the White Star Line, part of the whole cover-up of this mess. This is the stuff that started it. They sank that ship in order to do that. A few years later, they intentionally allowed the Lusitania to be shot and sunk by a German torpedo when she was carrying all this armament for World War I. And the Germans had issued all these warnings in the papers that any ships traveling to England in support of the war would be considered enemies of Germany and that they would be sunk, specifically about the Lusitania. And they didn't know, and people didn't believe it. And then the Lusitania was actually told to go to like, you know, 1 knot speed. That thing would run 30 miles an hour. It was just they almost run torpedoes unless the guy was a good shot. But she was commanded to go to like one knot in speed in order to be sunk to make this huge war effort go after Germany in World War One. Because remember the father of advertising, Bernays, basically was in charge of that entire program with Wilson as far as demonizing Germany and the Germans. And at that point in time, the largest demographic group in the entire United States was Germans. And that's why they couldn't bring America into World War One, because a lot of the Germans were still first and second generation Germans, and all their relatives were still in Germany. They didn't want to declare war on Germany, because Germany got dragged into that thing when the Archduke Ferdinand from Austria got shot. I mean, the whole thing was a mess. I mean, we've talked about that before on the radio. But no, the sinking of the Titanic was done on purpose to kill John Jacob Astor so they could get the Federal Reserve Bank in, because he was going to use his entire fortune. He had already committed it to stopping them from doing that, because he knew they would ruin the United States as they had done all the other countries. They had taken control of it. And he knew that was going to happen. And of course, the blithering idiot Wilson is the one who brought that in, because they were blackmailing him because of the multiple affairs he was having while he was while he was in the White House. And that's why he had Colonel House running around with a Rothschild agent basically telling him what to do and how to act. The whole thing was a disaster. They split the vote with Theodore Roosevelt, who ran on the Progressive Party, with Taft, and they intentionally did it as a three-way split to give Wilson the presidency with the understanding that he would sign the Federal Reserve Act into power and in the place after he became president, which is exactly what he did. So there's a little brief history. And by the way, I'm doing this without notes. If I missed a date or whatever, don't send me an email. I don't want to hear it, please. I'm in a hotel room in Budapest right now, wondering how I'm getting back into Germany, where I am right now, Austin.
Well, yeah, and you guys, if you want to learn more about stuff, look it up, man. I mean, the internet is an incredible tool now for information, all kinds of information, all over the world in history. So, I mean, this isn't stuff we're making up. This stuff you can go look up and research and verify for yourself. Switch gears a little bit. We've talked repeatedly about antibiotics, and I've been trying to tell people. I had another customer come in the office the other day, and her daughter had been on antibiotics for an extended period of time and was having all kinds of gastrointestinal distress. So we put them on some of the probiotics that we carry, the 100 million CFU ones. And the misuse of these antibiotic drugs are massively speeding up what's called antibiotic resistance. And antibiotic resistance is turning into a global health crisis, reaching dangerously high levels. And what's crazy is they WHO did a 12-country survey that was published on Monday, and they found that 64% of the people in the survey thought that antibiotics were used to treat colds and flus, despite the fact the drug has no impact on viruses. If you guys are sick, if you're coming down with a cold, antibiotics are not the answer. Antibiotics are a last-ditch effort when you cannot figure anything else out for some type of bacteria issue. They are not for what's going on for your normal cold and flu. There's another article that just came out now, which is making things even worse, is that antibiotics in the animal feed and water now is causing significant harms, because we're feeding it to the livestock, which is commonly done to promote growth and to prevent diseases in animals in crowded conditions. This often leaves the drug ineffective when they're needed to treat infections of people because of the heavy exposure. Antibiotic resistance is becoming a bigger and bigger problem, both in kids and adults, so much so that some infections are becoming difficult, if not impossible, to treat, says Dr. David Haslam, a pediatric infectious disease specialist. And he goes on to say in here, which we've been telling you guys repeatedly, do not buy beef, poultry, or pork raised with antibiotics. Make sure it is guaranteed that it has not been fed or given any type of antibiotics. Now, I don't like pork. I don't recommend pork. Neither does Dad. But regardless, beef and poultry the same. You can get, you know, grass-fed or open-range, free-range chicken, beef, turkey and stuff like that with no antibiotics. This stuff, I was at Sam's the other day, and they had this big giant pack of chicken breast. Obviously, it was not any type of anything special. It was just straight up chicken breast. And these breasts, they were literally like 4 or 5 pounds per breast. They were huge. I couldn't even believe they could get them this big now. They do with all the steroids and the antibiotics. But what's crazy, the chicken was like on sale for like $1.59 a pound. $1.59 a pound. If you know how expensive it is, because we have chicken and we raise them with, you know, organic feed, free range, it's expensive to raise these chickens. And especially the fact that they don't even produce that much meat or eggs when you raise them like this. So when you see chicken that's this big for that price, you know it's pumped full of just about every type of toxic hormone, antibiotic, and steroid that they can throw at it. Get, if you can't buy organic, at least get no antibiotic, no hormone, no steroid poultry. And it's still not cheap. I'm not going to lie to you about that. It's not cheap at all. But it's still much better than pumping yourself full of all these antibiotics that these animals are eating all the time. And, yeah, just try and stay away from it. Dad knows as well as I do. He's told me that for years. You know, I used to not care about it. I used to eat a bunch of antibiotic chicken when I was younger. And especially when I got into bodybuilding, I went and bought a ton of antibiotic chicken one time, where it didn't say antibiotic chicken, but it was that cheap stuff that I just mentioned. And, man, I was putting down, you know, I was eating, you know, roughly 8 to 10 ounces of chicken every meal, you know, 5-6 meals a day. Boy, it wasn't a week and a half later, I got sick as a dog, and I didn't know how. I was eating super clean, you know, veggies, chicken, training, sleep 8 hours a day, taking supplements, got super sick. And he sent me all these articles now on how all these direct impacts now from animal livestock antibiotic usage is being transferred to humans. Now people's immune systems are getting completely compromised just from the antibiotics and hormones they're giving these animals. So, yeah, that's one I just want to pass on to you guys and just use some wisdom on that next time you're at the store. Spend the extra couple dollars. I promise you it's well worth it in the end.
Wow, good, Austin. That's good. And by the way, this show is being brought to you by HealthMasters.com. We thank you for being our customers. We thank you for supporting us. We thank you for listening to our shows and my occasional rants, and now Austin's occasional rants. And thank you. We appreciate you listening. The show's getting bigger and bigger and bigger. The numbers are growing by leaps and bounds, actually. So we're very, very pleased. Tell your friends about it, because we're going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you the truth of what's happening in Hungary. I'm going to tell you the truth of what happens going on packs across the border. And I don't know any other alternative health practitioner or anybody else, by the way, who's on who's in Budapest, Hungary right now on a news quest. So yeah, I'll keep you guys posted as what's happening. Healthmasters.com, free newsletter. Please sign up for the newsletter. Thank you for supporting us and buying our products and supporting the show. And I'll be coming back live to you again on Sunday night. I'll be out of Hungary by then. I don't know how long it's going to take to do it, but I'll be out of Hungary. And so it's going to all be interesting. And so we'll see, and I'll give you the full story now tomorrow, and Thanksgiving Day. Friday. I do not want you to miss the show, because it's going to be the Hagman rerun that we did with the Hagmans last week, and you have to hear the show tomorrow. We'll be talking about the blood of Christ and how powerful it is, and how blood can communicate throughout the entire galaxy by the use of scalar waves through the DNA. So it's absolutely, it's amazing, this show. We have literally gotten dozens and dozens of emails from you after I did the show last week on Hagman on Friday night. Thank you. Also, we have a 10% off sale for all of our customers. Through the weekend, I guess we're going to be carrying, we'll be sending an email out on that. I hear my wonderful music playing right now. I really like that music, so I guess we need to go. Austin, you got any final seconds? What do you want to say? Go ahead and close out the show, Austin.
All right, bud. Yeah, any you guys need anything, give us a call. The 10% off coupon code is THANKS. 2015. That's THANKS 2015. No spaces. Doesn't matter if you capitalize it or not. If you guys need anything, give us a call or email us. And we love you guys. Have a safe weekend. Have a blessed Thanksgiving. And we'll talk to you again Sunday.
And pray for me.
Oh, and yeah, pray for Dad. Sorry about that.